We'll use both of these. Good morning. So good to see you in the Lord's house today. It's been an exciting day already to be here, and the Lord is moving in our midst. Looking forward to hearing Joel's sermon again, and it was mighty powerful in the early worship. So let's pray. Lord, we love you and we magnify your name. You are worthy of all praise and all glory and honor. Lord, I pray that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Not seek our own kingdom or our own righteousness, but we rely on you, God, for all that. I pray that you would strengthen us today as we examine your word. Strengthen Joel as he brings your word to us. And bless our ears to hear and our hearts and minds to perceive and comprehend and apply the truth. And I pray that you'll help our hands and feet and our entire bodies to put things into action, and our brains as well, Lord. Pray that you'll help us to magnify you during this time, to be the true worshipers that you seek. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee. We'll sing the first stanza all together, then all the ladies on the second, the men on the third, and back together to finish out on the fourth stanza. Would you stand with me and the choir as we begin?
Oh, We entered into Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, and Generosity back on October the 19th. And one of our committees that's putting together all the spiritual part of Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, and Generosity said to Ken and I, hey, can we have somebody in both of the worship services for the next 4 or 5 Sundays that will lead us in scripture reading and prayer, starting with our children, going all the way through to our senior adults? And of course, we were like, yeah, that sounds excellent. Well, the very first Sunday was Lakely and Foster. And Foster couldn't be here, so they videoed it, and then we kind of got messed up on the video. So Paul said, can we do that over again? And for Lakely and Foster, we are happy to do that over again. So Foster, you and Lakely come and lead us in scripture reading and prayer as we think about building by faith, purpose, vision, and generosity. All right, go ahead, Foster.
I'm Foster Partain.
It's on.
I'm Foster Partain, and I am going to be reading Philippians 1:6 today. And it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Hi, my name is Lakely Gilmore, and today I just want to pray for the church and everybody in it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us have a good day, and we thank you for everybody in this church and everybody in it, and we thank you for helping the church grow. We thank you for all you've done in and through First Baptist Church, and we pray that you'll continue helping the church grow. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Foster, and thank you, Lakely. So the whole point of that is we had senior adults read scripture and pray. We had middle-aged adults read scripture and pray. We had young adults. We had youth. We had children. And so the whole idea is building by faith, purpose, vision, and generosity is revealing our multi-generational church. So we've got babies everywhere, and we've got senior adults everywhere. We've got middle-aged adults. We've got young families everywhere. So our multi-generational church, thinking about the vision that God is giving to us for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And so thank you, Foster and Lakely, for leading us as we think about that and pray about that as a congregation. Those of you that are guests today, we are so glad you're here, that you're a part of our time of worship. Take a moment. Let's all stand. Welcome our friends. Glad you're with us today.
says, let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Let's move on to the last stanza. Let us not grow weary.
Let us not grow weary in the word of love.
Time our quartet that's behind me will, Clark can be seated, will share a song that kind of goes along with our theme for today, and that is vision. The Lord is our vision, and we want to keep our eyes on Him. Thank you for your hard work and working each week and sharing with us every week at the end of the service and occasionally for a special like that. So thank you. Our offertory hymn today is Be Thou My Vision. So we're going to sing that one all together. It's hymn number 562, all four stanzas. You can remain seated until the last.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we humbly come in your presence this morning. Lord, with joy in our hearts, grateful for your love, Lord, and Lord, thankful for your many blessings. Lord, this morning, we pray that through this worship service, Lord, that the songs that we sing and the preaching from the pulpit, Lord, may it be all for your honor and your glory, Lord. Only you are worthy of worship and praise. So we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. And in all things that we say, think, and do, may it be for your honor and your glory. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that we give with cheerful hearts, Lord, and just thankful to be able to give back and be a part of, Lord, just spreading the gospel, Lord, to those who need to hear your word and to uplift those that know you, Lord. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Of it all, Jesus, one day everywhere.
To me, the best line in that song is, "One day it'll all make sense." Is that great? One day, this whole thing that we're doing called the world, it'll all will be face to face, and it'll all make sense. Until then, we trust. Ken told me a story the other day. Now, at some point, you're going to have to tell that story. I'm going to have to get you to tell that story. He was very emotional telling me the story. And the story, I'm not going to tell it today, but you got to get Ken to tell you that story if you get a chance, all right? And the story is about trust. Trusting the Father, not trusting the Father for what we want Him to do, but just simply trusting the Father, period. And one day, Ken, it'll all make sense. The story has something to do with a penny, all right? The pennies are going away, by the way, from what I understand. But the penny, it says, in God we trust. And so the story is about this penny and trusting the Father. And Ken, ever since you told me that story, I have my penny in my pocket. Because every time I reach in my pocket and I touch that penny, I say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. What a great song. We're talking about vision today. Proverbs, it's actually Proverbs 29:18. All right? Now, they told me today that the first, yeah.
I think I have a little dyslexia.
All right. Ken had a little dyslexia. And he actually put down Proverbs 28:19. So half the congregation was turning to Proverbs 28:19, which says this, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. So they thought, well, I guess Joel's preaching on tilling a garden today. No, it's Proverbs 29:18. So you must have straightened that out.
It actually was right. The second service was right.
There you go. Proverbs 29:18. All right, so Ken's struggling with his typing skills. All right, but we got it right today. All right, Proverbs 29:18 is where we are. So October the 19th, on that Sunday, we started Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, and Generosity. And so on that Sunday, I used our logo as the theme of the sermon. So the sermon or the outline of the sermon came from Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, and Generosity. So we talked about purpose, we talked about vision, we talked about generosity, and we talked about what God is doing in the life of this church and how we're encouraging you, everybody that's part of this church, whether you're a member of the church or you're part of First Baptist Church, to join us in this vision. And so we talked about that. Well, then we spent several Sundays talking about stewardship. And we talked about, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a steward or a manager of all of these gifts that God has given to us? So we talk about faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone. And we talk about the gift of the gospel. But not only the gift of the gospel, but we also talk about all of these gifts that God has so generously just showered down on us. And then as His son, as His daughter, as His children, and a part of the body of Christ then, we are called to be managers, to be stewards of that which He has so generously given to us. So we spent several weeks talking about that. All right, how do I do that? How can I manage, steward, these incredible gifts of the gospel and these incredible gifts of time, talent, treasure, all that God has given? How do I manage that for His honor and for His glory as His child? All right, so today we're going to pivot back to vision with Proverbs 29:18. So Karen, Ken and I in the office, I don't remember what day it was, maybe Monday. And so we're talking about Proverbs 29:18 and some of the good things, some of the bad things about it. And we'll get there in just a minute. But here's what I told Ken and Karen. I said, what I did was I took about 8 different translations. And the King James, the New King James, the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, New Living Translation, the Message, NIV. I took about 8 different translations and I put them right there on my desk so that I could just read one to the next. And I would just read. I would start with this one and I would read that version. Then I would read the next version. Then the next version. Then the next version. And so I just got it over and over and over in my head. Then I went to the scholars, theologians. What from the scholars that I really love and respect, trying to ask this question, what does King Solomon want to communicate to the covenant family of Israel? Now, we also know that this incredible thing called the Word of God, not only was it written for the covenant community of Israel, but now how does that then communicate to the 21st century body of Christ in America? Let's make it even more specific. How in the world does that translate to First Baptist Church, Gunnersville, this incredible, powerful verse that was written 3,000 years ago? All right, so I took all, so scholarship, theologians, what do they say about this? All of these different versions, and here's what we've got. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision or revelation or divine guidance, then people have no direction and they stumble all over themselves. But when they trust God's vision, they will be blessed. Now let's break that down real quickly. All right, where there is no vision. All right, there's more than just vision. We're not talking about physical vision. We're talking about spiritual vision. So King Solomon is not just talking about, say, your workplace or your business that you run or your sports team or your school. He's not talking necessarily about how to have a better business here. There's something deeper going on here. Where there is no vision, more than that. Where there is no revelation, more than that. Where there is no divine guidance, body of Christ, 3,000 years after this was written for the covenant community of Israel to the new covenant church, where a church is not divinely guided by the gospel, the good news, to know Christ and to make Him known. When we go it alone, when we are not under divine guidance, then people have no direction and they stumble all over themselves. All right, so I want you to picture in your mind all of us in a big, huge, dark room. So dark that you can't see the hand in front of your face. I mean, it is dark. What are we doing in this dark room? Well, we're stumbling all over ourselves. You're walking into me. I'm walking into you. We're bumping into the walls. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. It's dark. You can't see anything. Even when the eyes are adjusted, it's still so dark you can't see anything. We're just hitting each other and bouncing all over each other. Where we are not divinely guided by God the Father, the gospel, the good news, then we're like a group of people in a dark room bouncing all over each other with no direction. But when we trust God's vision, all of a sudden, somebody in the room stops. All of a sudden, somebody in the room cries out, "Hey God, Father, help us." We're wandering around in this room aimlessly, bumping all over each other. "God, we need your help." And all of a sudden, when we repent of our sin and when we put our trust and our faith in God the Father, then God walks over to the door where we can't even find the door, and He reaches out and He flips on the switch. And all of a sudden, light in darkness. And we go, "Oh, now we know what we're doing." And then God, like little kindergarten children, God says, "All right, everybody get in line. Everybody, here's the door. Everybody get in line. Everybody quit talking. Everybody get in line." And we all get in line and God opens the door and we walk out that door with a vision. So where there is no divine guidance, then people stumble all over themselves. But when we trust in God's vision, all of a sudden light in darkness, and we then are blessed. So Proverbs chapters 25 through 29, King Solomon just gives one zinger after the next. Go back and read those five chapters. I mean, it's one right after the next. Boom. This wisdom, wise, this, wisdom here, wisdom here, wisdom here, wisdom here. And he's got all of these examples that I went through this morning. How to accept criticism, authority, wisdom, evil, caring for the poor, anger, disciplining our children, vision, guidance, pride, righteousness, and on and on and on. The list goes in those five chapters that King Solomon, it's just one great piece of wisdom after the next. Well, Proverbs 29:18 does not stand alone. It is included in that subject matter. Now, typically, when I hear someone mention Proverbs 29:18, I wince. I draw up. Y'all know where I stand on these issues. There's a handful of verses, Old Testament and New Testament, more than a handful, where the body of Christ in 21st century America takes and you hear somebody say, oh, where the King James Version, where there is no vision, people perish, or they just say Proverbs 29:18, and I wince because I think, oh, here's what they're going to do. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. What they're going to do is they're going to take this verse out of its context, lift it right out of its context for what it was written for, turn it over on its head and make it say whatever it is they want to make it say. And God justifies it, whatever that may be. Drives me insane, to say the least. So we have to understand Proverbs 29:18 in its context. A great example of that for American Christianity, and I've preached on this verse before, is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Lord, have mercy. That verse was written 2,500 years ago to the covenant community of Israel. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. How old's America? Almost 250 years old. That verse was written 2,500 years ago. And here's why it was written. It was written to the covenant family of Israel. And the covenant family of Israel was coming out of the Babylonian exile. And they were lost. They had cried out to God, we're sorry, God, we repent of our sin. And God heard their cry. And He brought them out of that exile. And now they were lost and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to turn. And God said to him through his prophet, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And somehow we think a country that's been 250 years old, that was somehow written for us. So we do that same thing with Proverbs 29:18. We take this beautiful verse of Scripture that God created and gave to covenant Israel to then move to the new covenant body of Christ. But we've got to be very, very, very careful that we don't lift it out of its context. Where there is no vision, no divine guidance, revelation, then people have no direction. They stumble all over themselves. But when they trust God's vision, that's the gospel, they will be blessed. Now that old proverb is as true today. To the covenant community of faith, in the new covenant, as it was when it was written for the old covenant 3,000 years ago. Our visions shape us. Our lack of vision also shapes us. Our vision of how we want to look determines the clothing that we buy, the vehicles that we drive, the homes that we live in. Likewise, visions shape nations, they shape movements, institutions, and they shape the church, the body of Christ. Our vision or lack of vision determines our interests, our direction. It determines our finances, our entire human experience. And so the first Christians, the body of Christ, living thousands of years after this verse was written by King Solomon, This first body of Christ, they emerged as converted followers of Jesus Christ who decided to go from dead living religion to gospel-centered vision. And that has been the case for 2,000 years, church. 2 weeks from today, hard to believe, and this 10:30 worship service is going to get what I say. The older we get, the faster it goes. They don't get that in early worship, by the way. Y'all do. 2 weeks from today, we start Advent. Y'all, we just had carols by candlelight 2 weeks ago. Really? Wasn't it? Okay, I could be wrong. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. We just did carols by candlelight. We're doing it all over again. 2 weeks from today, we start Advent. And here at First Baptist Church, we will spend the entire month of December collecting over $60,000 to send to 5,000 missionaries all over the world. One of our very own, Catricia Seward, was here last Sunday. I don't see her today, but she was here last Sunday. Part of what that $60,000 will go to Catricia Seward from our own church as an international missionary to carry the gospel to a world that is dark. And so this morning, I said, why in the world would a man named Adoniram Judson, if you haven't read Rosalie's book, Bless God and Take Courage, or Take Courage and Bless God, or it's one of those, something like that. All right. And it's the story of the Judsons. Read it. It is phenomenal. But why in the world would a guy named Adoniram Judson leave the comforts in the 19th century, the comforts of America, to go to a place called Burma to carry the gospel to the Burmese and literally live 40 years of hell? That's the only way to describe it. Read the book. It is hell on earth. What he lived through to leave the comforts of America to go to a place called Burma to carry the gospel. Why would he do that? Because he had a vision. That's the power of Proverbs 29:18. Why would a little bitty, thin, skinny, small, short lady from Virginia named Lottie Moon, you'll hear a lot about her in the next coming weeks, why would that lady leave the comforts of Virginia in the 19th century to travel all the way around the world to China to carry the good news of the gospel to a people that had no clue what the gospel was? Why would she do that? Died on a ship trying to get back home at some point in her life. Why would she do that? Because she had a vision. That's the power of Proverbs 29:18. This morning, after the early worship was over with, and I was standing out under the overhang, people were leaving Sunday school, and Joseph and Kelly Bryant were leaving. So Joseph and Kelly are home for a while, and they were sitting in the early worship, and as Joseph and Kelly were walking away, they had heard the early worship. I said, why would Joseph and Kelly Bryant leave the comforts of Gunnersville and Wadley? Why would they do that? Of course, Kelly said, Wadley's not that comfortable. I said, you're missing the point, Kelly. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? To go around the world to make sure that people could understand the Bible. Why would they do that? Vision's powerful, church. A vision from God is powerful. And Proverbs 29:18 is powerful. I heard one theologian say, a church that has no vision or seeks to be claimed by a vision will not ask for tasks equal to its power, but for power equal to its tasks. So we must not ask for tasks equal to our power, but what we're doing in this vision is we're asking for power equal to the task that God has given to us through the gospel, Jesus. There's a great story of Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln, I've told this story before, but Abraham Lincoln would walk from the White House to the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. That's where he went to church. And typically, when he would walk to church, he would take an aide with him. So he would sit in the pastor's study, Dr. Gurley's study. And back in those days, the way that churches were built, the pastor's study was off of the sanctuary. So he would sit in the pastor's study with the door open so that he could participate in worship, hear the sermon, but not be out in the general congregation, because that just caused a lot of trouble and a lot of problems. The President of the United States, even back then, it was a lot of trouble for him to just come in and sit down. So he would sit by himself or with his aide in the office of the pastor with the door open, and he would listen, and he would hear the sermon. He and his aide were walking back to the White House, and the aide said, "President Lincoln, I thought that was a great sermon today. What about you?" And Abraham Lincoln said, "It failed. And it failed because Dr. Gurley didn't ask us to do something great." And that's exactly what vision requires. It requires us to do something great. And there is no greater vision than the gospel that we hold dear. Where there is no vision or revelation or divine guidance, then people have no direction. They stumble all over themselves. But when they trust God's vision, they will be blessed. And that's us. That's where we are. So we've been working on this vision for several years, coming to culmination to this point. And so we've been working. I said last Sunday, I'm pretty sure I said it in this worship service, this is not a vision by a fly-by-the-night preacher that all of a sudden has come in here and decided, we're going to do this great stuff and shoving it down your throat. No, I've been here 30 years. Y'all know me better than that. This is a collective group, body of Christ, First Baptist Church, Gunnersville, with a vision to share the gospel and to push this thing called the gospel into the future for the next 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It is a vision that will help us proclaim the gospel to our multi-generational church. We talked about that just a little while ago. We have from birth to senior adults here at First Baptist Church, and all are represented very well. So it is a vision that will help us be relevant in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years as we proclaim this good news called the gospel to our church family and to a world far away with the gospel. So our prayer is that we all join together, get on the same bus, to carry this vision to a world that is desperately in need of the gospel. Father, thank you for that gift today that you give to us called the gospel. Thank you for the gift of vision. We share it with each other. We share it with our world. Bless us, Father. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Thank you, Father, for this great, powerful verse. Where there is no divine guidance, then we stumble. But when we have divine guidance and when we see it, the light switch comes on. No longer stumbling around in darkness, light dispels the darkness. Thank you, Father, for the vision that you're giving us. May we embrace it with the gift of the gospel. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to do that today. if you need to join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Please be seated before